Mark chapter 4. And if you'll turn over there, I'll find my place. We'll read several verses tonight. Mark chapter number 4. I appreciate the time of prayer. All right, Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. I thought about splitting this up in two sections at least, but with the revivals coming up and everything, I knew it'd be a while till we got back to it, so I think we'll just try to take them all at one time. Mark chapter 4, verse number 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so we know that's 20 verses there. That's a lot to cover, but they go along, they parallel one another. So we have the parable to begin with, and then you have the interpretation all in these 20 verses. But this is called just simply the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is what we want to look at tonight. In these 20 verses that we're going to look at, there's quite a bit to cover, so we'll just let the scripture introduce itself. First thing I want us to look at, verses 1 and 2, is the setting of the parable. I like to try to imagine in my mind how it was. And I don't know if everybody looks or reads like that, but I have a pretty vivid imagination sometimes. I envy, like Brother Kyle, he's been over to Israel, and so he's probably got a more of a idea in his mind when he reads about this, having been there. But we can use our imagination. We're not unfamiliar with these things, such as a seaside and a ship, and we can picture it. And the Bible says there in verse number 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. The first thing we notice here is that there was a great multitude that was gathered there. And we've seen the first three chapters so far. And there has been this continual multitude following the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here they are again, and he's teaching, and they are there. There's no doubt in my mind that there's every kind of ground that we're going to be looking at, studying about, represented in this great multitude. Every kind of hearer that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach about. And we see that there's just a natural amphitheater here. They are sitting by the sea on the land. The Lord Jesus entered into a ship and sat in the sea. So that makes a natural amphitheater where the multitudes can hear the voice and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse number 2, and he taught them many things by parables. Parables in the Bible, the word parable, it means to throw forward or against. It means to compare or to compare against something is what it means. Another definition, representation of something real in life or nature from which a moral is drawn for instruction. So the Lord Jesus in his parables, he used everyday things. Fields and man breaking into a house last week or 2 weeks ago in Mark chapter number 3. He used things that people could relate to. They could imagine these things in their mind. And so we see that he taught them in parables, or taught them many things by parables is what the Bible says, and said unto them in his doctrine. Now that word doctrine, it just means teaching. We've all heard people say, well, I don't care for doctrine. Why can't we just forget about doctrine and just love each other and not worry about it? But doctrine is just teaching. And anybody that says they don't care for doctrine, they're saying, well, I don't like teaching. I don't like to learn. I don't want to learn anything. I don't want to be taught anything. Let's just all forget about that. But that's impossible. It's impossible to read the Bible without being taught, without learning. And so doctrine is just, it's necessary. It's a byproduct of reading the Bible, hearing preaching, hearing teaching. There's going to be learning. And so he taught them in his doctrine or in his teaching. Now, there's some things about parables. I want to go ahead and skip over to verse number 9 down through verse number 12. And just say some things about the Lord Jesus speaking unto them in parables. Verse number 9, he said, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, do you know everybody that hears does not really hear? I mean, they might hear the voice. I was reading something the other day, and I had read a little bit about a gentleman, Henry David Thoreau, on Walden, and he wrote another short piece called Civil Disobedience. He wasn't a believer. And he's not anybody you would look up to for an example of Christianity by any means. That's not why I was reading or studying about him, but just come across. And he said that to hear a preacher preaching on the Sabbath day, look forward to the day when those voices would be shut. He'd just soon sit on a stump and hear the birds whistle. He was a naturalist, part of what he was. But see, he heard, but he didn't hear. It never was sweet to him. It never did mean anything to him. Oh, he wrote books and things, and he's known as a great thinker, but evidently he's not a great hearer. He heard, he come in contact with the gospel, but he didn't hear. And that's how a lot of people are. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse number 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable that he had just been preaching in public, teaching to the multitudes. When they got alone, they wanted to know more about that. Verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. There's a twofold purpose of parables. One purpose was to conceal, and the other person was to reveal. Now, the conceal part, and we plainly see that here in these verses, verse number 11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. So the parables, what to some people, that it didn't reveal a thing. They didn't get anything out of it. It was hidden from them. The truth was hidden from them. But the same parable was intended by the Lord to reveal His truth, His truths and His doctrines unto others. The half-hearted person would hear the parable and they would just go on about their business. The multitudes went on down the road and they said, well, that was interesting. Did you enjoy that message? I don't know if I understood what he was talking about. Oh, well, there's somebody else we're going to go here tomorrow. That there'll be somebody else come along. Didn't mean anything to them. But then we find that when the disciples got the Lord Jesus alone, they were sincere seekers of truth. And so instead of them hearing and then just passing it off, well, I didn't get much out of that. That didn't mean anything. They wanted to know more. Jesus wants to know who wants to know more. And the ones that wants to know more, He will reveal unto them. And that's what He said. Unto you is to be known the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so it was to reveal. Parables have a twofold purpose: to conceal or to reveal. We find the purpose of parables. Now, verse number 3, we go on down. He said in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, hearken. I'm getting ready to start my message. That's how he started. I might try that some Sunday. We're just going to get started. Hearken. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Listen to me. Here he is in the ship, there on the land. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, can't you just imagine that in your mind? The Lord Jesus is there in the sea. I don't want anybody to get seasick tonight. He's on the ship. There on the land, he says, hearken, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And I imagine in my mind, now everybody that heard the Lord Jesus knew what a sower was. That was a very common labor that was carried out in the days of the Lord Jesus. But don't you think maybe there was a man out there in the crowd that was going out to the field and saw the great commotion, and he's got his sack on around his shoulder, and he's got his seed in his pouch, and maybe even the Lord Jesus picked him out of the crowd. And I'm going to make an example out of him. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. He's going to teach him a lesson about the parable of the sower. And so that's the setting of the parable. Number 2, there's the importance of the parable. Now this is important that we understand this particular parable. I'll show you why in just a minute. Just a thing or two about this particular parable. The first time the word parable is mentioned in the New Testament is talking about this parable. Now, it's not right here. It's in Matthew 13 in verse number 3. And it just says over there, now it's the first time the word parable in the New Testament. Matthew 13 and 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. God's order is never out of order. And I've said this hundreds of times down through the years. When you find a first mention in the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, there's something special about that. There's something interesting about that. There's a lesson in the first time things are mentioned in the Bible. I've said this many times. God's order is never out of order. Nothing is in the Bible just by roll of the dice, just by luck. It's not thrown together by man. It's ordered by the Holy Ghost of God. Every word, every jot, every tittle, where it is there for a reason. And so, first time the word parable is mentioned in relation to this particular parable. Now look down at verse number 13, what the Lord Jesus, we're talking about the importance of this parable. Verse 13, Jesus said, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The key to understanding all the parables is found first of all in this parable. If we don't understand this parable, we're going to have a hard time understanding all the other parables. So the Lord Jesus himself tells us, lets us know how important this is. Don't you know this parable? How are you going to know the rest of it? Well, what is so important about this parable? Now, you can just put out of your minds, oh, there's some secret here. There's some key, there's some code. You know, when we were little and we always bought cereal based on the prize inside. And sometimes you get cereal that had a secret code decoder inside of it. You know, you get the little thing in there and it would decode it, and you get some secret message, and boy, you just had to have that box of cereal, and you get it home and you decode it and you find out what the message was, and it said, eat Lucky Charms, or, you know, whatever it was. Or you get them in a Cracker Jack box. Used to get them things. Eat more Cracker Jacks. They taste good. Just old stuff like that. Well, some people, that's how they approach studying the Bible. Oh, there's something in here nobody else knows, and I'm going to find it. The Bible is not like that. This is very easy scripture to understand. It's very plain. It's not coded secretly for us to not understand it. God wants us to understand. The teaching is very plain. But the reason why this parable is so very important is because it sets forth our primary responsibility in this day of grace in which we live. We're living in the church age. What are we supposed to be doing in the church age? Sowing the seed. That's why the Lord left us here. It's what we're supposed to do. Sow the seed. Preach the word. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our number one primary goal and purpose and reason for being here. It's what we're supposed to do. So that is what this has to do with. Sowing the word. Sowing the word. Well, if we're going to sow the word, we need to know some things about it. It's very important. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. People have to hear the word. Have to hear the word of God. It has to be sowed. Preacher Greg Thompson gave me a message a couple of years ago. It was by an older preacher. And the pastor, one of the things he said in his message, he had a lot of wisdom. He had been at it a long time. And he said in that message, I listened to it by CD, he said, we're dealing with an unsown generation. I've thought a lot about that over the past couple of years. We are dealing with maybe even the first unsown generation that has ever been in the United States of America. Now, some people say, well, America's not a Christian nation, but I'll tell you, there's more Christianity in America, historically speaking, than any other nation on the face of the earth. Even people that didn't grow up in church, it would be hard to find somebody that had no contact with the Bible, the gospel, preaching Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, our society, our country has been so blessed. We've had great revivals in the past. Not everybody was saved. Not everybody's a Christian. Not everybody went to church. But once upon a time in school, they taught the Ten Commandments. They had prayer. I'm talking about public school. They had Bible reading. But there's a generation now that all these things have been withheld. And now, in our day and time, if ever there's been a day where we need to re-sow the field, it's this day and time. This is an unsown generation. They need what we are sowing. We'll look at what we're sowing in just a minute, but there's people in America now that they don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't have a Bible. They don't know what the gospel is. An unsown generation. So where once upon a time they could have revival, well, the seed was already sown in their hearts. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They saw these things on the walls when they went to school. So the seed was already there, but now it's been withheld. They've not been sown. That's something to think about. It's different than it was just a few years ago. I watched a little bit of the baseball game last night. The Royals played the A's. And somebody in the crowd had a sign that said, held it up, you know how they're all time holding signs up. Somebody had a sign that said, Cain is Abel. There is a player for the Royals whose last name is Cain. And so they had a sign that said, Cain is Abel. And the announcer, an older gentleman, he said, the Royals fans are... I can't remember exactly how he put it, but he said they're alluding to scriptural quotations. Now, when I seen that, I immediately made the connection. Cain and Abel in the Bible. It's a play on words. But I really wonder, in America, wonder how many million people saw that sign and had no idea. I bet it would surprise you. Have no idea that that is a reference to the Bible. Cain is Abel. Now, why they've used that, I don't know. There's probably some Sunday school teacher got tickets to the game and they's just out there. I don't know. But how many people do you think would really, if they seen that, would make a connection to the Bible? It's an unsown generation. Unsown generation. So we have the sowing there, the importance of this. That's what we're supposed to do, is to sow the word. Now the elements, there's three things in this parable I want to point out tonight. Number one, there's the sower in verse number 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. There went out a sower to sow. First and foremost, the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 13:37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. But you and I also are to be sowers as well. We're to be sowers. And do you know what? Anybody can sow. You don't have to be a preacher to sow. You don't have to have a doctorate to be able to sow. You don't have to have even special training to be able to sow. You can sow by simply giving your testimony. You can sow by giving a gospel tract. You can sow by helping a missionary go. Or just these thousands of ways to sow. But you can't do any of it without a sower. That's what it all starts with. There has to be a sower. That seed's got to get in the ground. How's it going to get in the ground? There's got to be a sower. You and I, all of us, I think one of the reasons our nation's in such a mess is because people, Christian people, have been trained or had it put in their minds down through the years that it's just the preacher's job. And the preacher will never get it done. Well, it's the missionary's job. It's everybody's job if you're saved by the grace of God to be a sower. You'll meet people. You know people I'll never meet. I'll never know. I'll never cross paths with them right here in this little town. If you don't reach them at work, at school, they may never be reached. We're all to be sowers. There's the sower. Number two, there's the seed. Look at verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. So we're not just talking about seed now, are we? The seed is the word of God. Luke 8, verse number 11 said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So what are we talking about sowing? We're talking about sowing the word of God. And let me say quickly tonight, there's nothing wrong with the seed. And we could study several places in the Bible tonight. The seed is incorruptible. The seed is perfect. The seed is forever settled in heaven. The seed is powerful. The seed is miraculous. There's a lot of things we could say about the seed, but I'll just sum it up like this and say, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. Now, the very nature of seed is to seemingly have too much. Have you ever thought about that? God compares His Word to seed. Have you ever thought the Lord's wasteful? Look at all the extra abundance of seed. Around my house, I was looking today, I was trying to mow. I never realized till today how many apple trees are around our house. And there's apples, all kinds of different apples falling all over the place. And I was trying to do a little mowing down at my neighbor's house, and I got away from there. I didn't want to get bee stung. You know how it is. Those bees like those apples. But look at all the seed. Every apple has how many seeds? Look at all the tomatoes. Look at cucumbers. Isn't that a waste of seed? All those seeds aren't going to make cucumber plants. All the apple seeds, look, there's way more apple seed goes to waste than ever turns into a tree. But do you ever think, well, I don't know, we give out a lot of gospel tracts, are we being wasteful? All those tracts are not going to produce a what we might say, a saved individual. Somebody gets saved. But it's seed. It's not our seed, it's God's seed. And God said, don't worry about it. Sow the seed. You ever get to thinking in your mind, in a natural mind will think this way. Man, the church sure gives a lot to missions. If that thought ever comes into your mind, that's the devil. Trying to get you to think, we need to hold some of that back. What for? A rainy day, one preacher used to say, you holding something back for a rainy day, you'll sure have it. That's not wasting money. That's sowing seed. Gospel tracts, radio ministry. Well, not everybody listens to the radio station. That's true. But it's sowing seed. We are to be in the business of sowing the seed. What are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to worry about it. I mean, it seems like, wow, there's a lot of seed. Not all of it, somebody gets saved. But you know what? Every once in a while, somebody gets saved. That's worth it all. It's worth it all. What shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? All the wealth of the world doesn't equal what one soul is worth. And every once in a while, some of that seed gets into good ground. And you don't know what seed, where, is going to get into the good ground. It might be somebody that heard the gospel message on the radio. It might be somebody you give a gospel tract to. You may never see that person. You may never know what it would mean to them. Last week, I stopped, got me something to eat. And the girl, she brought out my food to the car. I gave her a gospel tract. I was getting ready to go. I'd already paid. She brought it out. I said, let me give you a gospel tract. I gave it to her. I showed her. I told her what it was. I said, let me give you a gospel tract. She got it. She said, I needed one of those. That's what she said. I needed one of those. She said, thank you. I needed one of those. And she pulled it close to her like something that she meant it. And then she turned around and went back in. She started looking at it. Started looking at it. Do you know how easy it would have been for me not to give her a gospel tract? May never see her again. But she said, I needed one of those. You never know. You never know. We are to sow the seed. Then there's the soil. You say, preacher, you're just on verse 3. You said we get done. We will. There's the soil. Matthew 13:38 says the field is the world. The soil is the whole world. Mark 16:15 said, go ye into all the world. Look at this soil. First of all, in verse 4. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. The wayside is where people walked, got hard, trampled down. Nobody sowed a field there. Nobody planted a garden there. It was just the pathway. It was the roadway. That's what the wayside was. And the pathway or the wayside represents the hard-hearted. I know there's a lot of hard-hearted people in the world. The Bible said in verse 4 that the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. That here felt no loss, because none of that seed had got down on the inside. And there's a great many that hear, but it gets gone just about as quick as it got there. They feel no loss. They feel no remorse over that. They got the hard heart, the wayside. Look at verses 5 and 6. There's the stony ground, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Look at verse 16 and 17. Here's the interpretation. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. This is the superficial hearer. Oh, yeah, you want to be saved? Sure. But if somebody else come along with another message, they might just as easily accept it. You don't want to die and go to hell, do you? No, I don't want to die. You know, there's a lot. Pray a prayer. Get baptized. Things like this. Are you saved? Oh, yes, I used to do this and I used to do that. You know, we've all heard the stories about somebody says they got saved and then they never come back to church. The FBI couldn't find them and all like that. What's wrong? What's going on with people like that? Maybe they're just a superficial hearer. Look what it says in verse 17. Here's what messes a lot of people up. It says, but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. First time they run into trouble, they've had enough of that. This represents a person that's religious but lost. There's been some interaction between them and the seed or the gospel, but verse number 6, and you might ought to underline, or you might want to underline this, in verse number 6 it says, it had no root. Verse number 17 says, and have no root. That seed, when it grows, it produces a root. And if you don't have a root, you'll never have any fruit. They had no root. That's why there's no fruit. They're religious, but lost. Then there's the thorn-covered soil in verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Look down at verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. There's three things there. In verse number 19, it's going to cause a lot of people to miss out on heaven. Three things in verse number 19. The cares of this world. I know, and I've told you this, but one of my friends, when we were in Idaho, and he took me hunting and told me about things out there, and he came to church once or twice, but I tried to witness to him, and he just said, "Well, I can't go to church on Sunday. That's my only day off. Why would I want to do that?" He said, "I want to hunt. I want to golf. I want a snowmobile. I want to do this and I want to do that." The cares of this world. A lot of people are not concerned about their soul. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, I would, but my job. I talked to somebody today. Nights and weekends working. Deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things entering in. Boy, there's a lot could be come under that. The lust of other things entering in. How many people? Too busy. Not now. Things to do. Money to make. That's really sad. The thorns of this world. And thorns will do that. They grow up and choke your plants out. Choke your fruit out. Well, then there's the good soil in verse number 8. Bible said, then other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Jesus said in John chapter number 15, you read over there, it is His will that ye go and bring forth much fruit. It's what the Bible says. And this last type of the soil is the type of the child of God. The child of God will yield fruit in their lives. Verse number 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. And now here's a lesson. Hear the word and receive it. You've got to receive the word of God. You've got to hear it. You've got to receive it. If you'll hear it and you'll receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some in 100. Some are more fruitful than others, but all ought to have some fruit in their lives. There ought to be some fruit that comes forth out of the ground. So there's the elements. There's the sower, there's the seed, there's the soil. One last thing I'll show you, there's the application of the parable. I like for things to apply. How can we apply this to our lives? Verse 9 said, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what's it mean to us? How do we apply this? Number one, we could ask ourselves, how do I hear the word? How do I hear the word? Do I receive the word of God? Do I come with an open heart and an open mind, and my heart is open unto the word of God, and I want it to get in there and I want it to change me? And is that how you receive the word of God? Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, I preached a few Sundays ago on cursing. I'd never preached on cursing before. But the Lord led me to preach on it. You know, that might be plowing up some soil. That might be breaking up some fallow ground to get somebody's heart where some seed can get down into it. Well, some people, nobody here, nobody said it anyway, well, I'd make them mad. You know, we had some visitors on that Sunday morning. I thought, I might make them mad. I don't know. They said they enjoyed it. I hope they did. If they didn't, they lied. They lied in church. That's double bad. But you never know in this day and time. People get mad. I had a lady tell me one time, well, that's where the Apostle Paul and I disagree. What do you mean? You're saying I don't agree with God. If Paul wrote it, that's the Word of God. You receive the Word of God? How do I hear the Word of God? Am I real or just a superficial hearer? Number two, last of all, how do I handle the Word of God? Sowing. I'm to be sowing the Word. Testimony, witness, use my talent for the Lord, use my time for the Lord. How do I handle the Word of God? Look in Psalms 126, and we'll close over there. The book of Psalms, chapter 126. This goes right along with our lesson of sowing the Word. You're probably already familiar with it tonight. I want to read just a couple of verses and I'll close. The book of Psalms, chapter 126. How do I handle the Word of God? Psalms 126 verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now that's a great soul winner's passage of Scripture. That's what that's talking about. Going forth, weeping, bearing precious seed. Well, do we have everything we need? We got seed. Do we have seed? We've got all kinds. We're not short on seed. If we're short on it, you know what? God's blessed us. We'll get some more. We'll get some more. It's available. It's not a problem. We got the seed. He that goeth forth, well, you got to have an opportunity. Have we got any opportunities to sow the seed? Every day. Every day there's opportunities to sow the seed. All around us. You don't have to go to Japan. You don't have to go to Alaska. You don't have to go to Cuba. Just go to work. Go to school. You'll have an opportunity. So we got an opportunity to go forth. He that goeth forth. Bearing a precious seed. Bearing, do we have any resources? That's how you carry. That's how you get the work done. We get the sow the seed by technology. I had a missionary a while back sent me a text message. He said, Brother Wynn, I just heard one of your messages on the website somehow. He got it on his phone. He's traveling down the road. That's a blessing. We got radio, we got web thing, website, that's what it is. People listen on that, gospel tracts, Bibles, all kinds of things, send missionaries, missions offering, all of these things. We got all kinds of resources. Is that everything we need? We got everything we need. We got seed, we got going forth, we got bearing. Is anything else in there? Be good to have. He that goeth forth and weepeth. I think that's what we lack. He that goeth forth and weepeth. They that sow in tears. That's what we're missing in 2014. We got everything else, but we don't have them tears a lot of times. We don't have that broken heart. See, that seed will do better if it's watered beforehand. And that's what that's a picture of. Getting some wetness on that seed as it goes out. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. In our mornings, in our devotions, in our time with God, if we could ever get to where we could see souls like the Lord Jesus Christ seen souls. When he looked on the multitudes, he had compassion on them because they were sheep having no shepherd. It broke his heart. And I say again, if we could get brokenhearted, it'd really help our seed business as we go. So there's a lot of good things in this passage of Scripture. A lot of things to think about. And you know, only the Lord can give the kind of tears that I'm talking about. Now, a lot of preachers could tell a sad story and get an emotional response, but what I'm talking about has to come from the Lord. Get a mind and a heart like His mind and heart. He's the only one that can give that. We ought to pray that He would. All right, I appreciate your good attention tonight.